WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it's really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Good evening, and welcome to Monday Night Talk. This is not Kevin Tachi, but this is Richard Rosen. And this is my dream come true... opening the show for Kevin Tachi. I walked in and the owner of the station said, is Kevin coming tonight? And I said, I hope so, or my dream will come true and I'll be opening for Kevin. So my dream is true, but Kevin is here. So ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Tachi in Monday Night Talk.
Wow. It's almost who's Johnny Carr? Ed McMahon.
I might be able to do this, you know.
Dude, you're like my Ed McMahon. Here's Johnny. Yes, you are listening to Monday Night Talk. We got a great show lined up for you. Richard is my co-host, and Richard will be bringing us in and out of breaks this evening as well. Just in case there happens to come that time that I can't make it in. It's, you know, I was kind of under the weather all weekend. I had gotten back from a trip, and I actually had a family member who is very, very sick, went on the same trip as me. And, you know, they say getting on those planes, it's like flying in a germ box. It's true.
It's true.
It's true.
The only time I ever get sick is when we fly.
Yeah. Which is why for the longest time I didn't fly anywhere. I drove.
It's hard to drive to islands because I think someone once said there's big water out there.
Mm. There actually is. So Richard is going to be the co-host. We've got a great show for you this evening. We'll start things off after checking traffic with Lisa DeMilo. We have State Senator Mike Brady. We haven't had the senator on in a while. We'll check in with the senator, find out what he has planned for the next legislative session, find out some of his committee assignments, what he's going to be working on, knowing that he has such a big area that he covers. His district is rather large. Part of it is Brockton and a lot of communities here on the South Shore, so we'll get his take on what he's going to look to work on. And then at 6:40, you heard him open up the show, Richard Rosen. We check in with our sponsor, one of our prime sponsors. As you may know, other than he teased last time he was here, other than McGuigan's Pub, he has another project that is, in a matter of time, we'll find out when we talk with him at 6:40, the patio at McGuigan's Pub. Is it the patio at McGuigan's? Am I saying that wrong?
Is the patio at McGuigan's?
All right, so you don't say the pub.
No.
Okay,
no.
Right. So the patio at McGuigan's, which is, again, if you, it's going to be nothing like McGuigan's. And I've already had a little bit of insight. I've talked with him. He'll kind of give us details as to how it's coming along and when there'll be a grand opening. And then at 7 o'clock, we're going to talk about another favorite subject of Richard's. Actually, it's kind of my favorite subject as well. It's a project that actually Richard and I have worked on for a couple of years now. But it's about bees. Richard is a local beekeeper, and we're going to have Glenn Cornell here. And Glenn is one of the folks. He's an officer, isn't he?
He's the director of the bee school.
Thank you.
At the Plymouth County Beekeepers Association. And, by the way, don't underestimate your passion for bees, because I've seen it in the last couple of years, and you're into it as well.
The more I get stung, the more passion I have. it's uncanny. But we can also tease a little bit that, you know, the show that you do that has won, it has been recognized
twice,
not only on a regional level as it won, it came in second in the Nor'easters, but I was a finalist for the Mass Creator Awards,
which is still pretty amazing.
So we're going to talk about bees. And you may be saying, well, it's February. Well, spring's just a couple of weeks away.
The bees will be here.
The bees soon. Will be here. You'll be brought up from the apiaries. And we're going to talk a little bit about, I know the bee school is ongoing, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then Michael Ganchert, The Taste of Whitman and Hanson, as this is all for the Whitman-Hanson Dollars for Scholars. We'll find out about that with Michael coming up in just a few moments. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pull off to the shoulder safely, and we're cruising into the WATD Traffic Center, being brought to you on this end by Brennan Smoke Shop, online at BrennanSmokeShopMA.com, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now Pope's Island, New Bedford. Where's that? I don't know, but somebody asked me the other day. But cruising in, and we're meeting up with Lisa DeMilo. I heard your last report, Lisa. Is there any chance that anything is happening out on the roadways now?
Kevin, you're going to hear me say something that I will never probably say again. There is zero happening right now. If you're on the roads right now, you have very little company. It's a wide open speed limit ride just about everywhere. This report is sponsored by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation invites you to take steps for cures at a walk event near you. Get started at cctakesteps.org. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
Brennan's has a reputation that precedes us. We're very hard when it comes to carding people. Over the years, we've gotten a little soft. Well, now that we're selling the market's leading male and female enhancement products, we're getting hot again. If you're under 30 years of age, better come with your ID every time. Brennan's Smoke Shop. You want our products, and we want to get you there. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, we are back, and we are anticipating a call from State Senator Mike Brady, who should be joining us in just a couple of moments. I will tell you that we were anticipating to speak with Congressman Stephen Lynch, but we were not successful in lining him up. But we're hoping to have him on probably in the next couple of weeks. I may even push it back. I know you wanted to have a chat with him, Richard.
He's a pretty amazing guy. He, you know, it's nice to talk to him because you find out that politics in Washington isn't all extremes. It's not all the extreme left or not all the extreme right, that there are a lot of congresspeople that are working in the middle to try to get things done. And it's refreshing to talk to him about that. And his foreign travels. He's been to the Middle East 15, 16, 17 times. And to listen to him tell stories, it's pretty amazing.
And to know that he's basically a blue-collar guy, a steel worker.
He was a steel worker, worked his way through law school, and he's done quite well for himself.
So maybe what I might do is I might put it off until the next time you're here. I'll see what we can do. But I know, because you and I try to do this with anybody who sits in and co-hosts with me. The idea is I want to have folks who are going to sit in and have a conversation with me instead of just sitting there going, what do I say? What do I talk about?
Right.
Yeah. Well, Joe Rossi's here. He likes to talk to Junior D'Amato about cars. And the guy can go on for like an hour if I let him. And that's good. You want to have a good conversation that's going on. Well, we have joining us right now, I believe he's representing the 2nd Plymouth District, State Senate District, Mike Brady joining us. Senator, welcome to Monday Night Talk. And, of course, I'm not alone. I have, Richard Rosen from McGuigan's Pub, also Rosen Realty.
Well, hello, guys, and good to talk to you. I know it's been a crazy schedule, and we haven't spoken in a while. And today I've been dealing with the snow in the communities that I represent. The South Shore got hit a little worse than the North Shore today, but I think so overall they did a pretty good job and it wasn't as bad as expected. But with the freeze up, there's a lot of concerns about the roads freezing, and public safety is a priority for all of us to make sure people get home safe, and then the DPW workers in every community can put the proper salt or other items on the road to keep the road safe?
Well, if it helps you at all, we were just talking to our traffic center. Lisa DeMille was telling us there's not really many people out on the roadway, so it's kind of good that at least folks are off the road, and it gives the folks who work in highway departments and DPWs to get out there and treat the road so we can return to normal business tomorrow, seeing that today is a holiday.
Yeah, the good news, this is a February vacation week for a lot of people, and today is President's Day. A lot of people do have it off, but some people, I did find out, you know, medical workers, public safety workers, they still have to get to work. Nurses have to work in the hospital, so they didn't get the day off. And you want to make sure the roads are safe. But we dealt with this several years ago, if you remember. We had a much worse week of February vacation where I think we almost had 3 feet of snow. And I was filling in for a friend, helping him take care of his properties. He was down in Florida on vacation in sunny Florida with his wife and family. And he left his snowplow with me with his worker to help take care of all of his tenants' driveways. So it was an adventurous winter that year. So this is nothing like a couple of years ago. So far, I think we've dodged a storm this winter.
Well, we know that you returned back up to the Hill about 4 or 5 weeks ago. How is the legislative session kicked off for you?
So far, so good. There is a lot of concern at the federal level. We did have the shutdown short while ago, and very concerned about our constituents. You know, the Coast Guard employees, when the shutdown did happen, Coast Guard employees had no recourse of revenue coming in. You know, they might have a stay-at-home spouse taking care of the babies. The husband or the wife was working in the Coast Guard. There was no income for them. People with Section 8 vouchers, and again, it's not just the tenants, but the landlords. They were paid through the month of February, but if the shutdown continued, we were concerned about that because, you know, the owners of these houses still have to pay their mortgages. And even though the bank may give you a little leeway, again, a lot of families didn't know that. There was some no-interest loans given out and offered to people, but the communications weren't out there because some of our local banks worked with some of these families, so they helped out. But and then even the SNAP program's helping out less fortunate families. So I did ask to be on a committee. Jason Lewis, the other senator, was the chairman of the committee. The first day we had the hearing, though, the federal government opened up again. So, you know, we made light of the situation. We had one hearing, and they opened up the government. But you never know what's going to happen now with the president calling a national emergency, what's going to happen moving forward. In our discussions and in working with the other members of the Senate and the House that were on the committee, we talked about if there was a longer shutdown or if there's another total shutdown, do we apply unemployment insurance for the federal employees so they can put food on their table and pay their mortgages, etc. And then the talk was, how do we get reimbursed? Do we do something on their taxes at the end of the year? Do they pay the reimbursement back to the entity that paid them, whether it be the state or whatever? And there was a lot of discussion on that. So far, the committee's kind of in a wait and see. The shutdown did stop, but again, with the president calling the national emergency, we don't know what's going to happen moving forward.
Hey, Senator, it's Richard Rosen. How you doing?
Good, and yourself?
Good. Question. We want to know, and the people out in WATD land are interested in, what committee assignments have you recently been given?
Well, I became chairman of public service, so that is an important committee, as you know, dealing with a lot of state and municipal employees. We deal with sick leave banks. We deal with a lot of legislation filed on behalf of whether it be local employees, state employees, or municipal employees. And we're dealing with that, collective bargaining agreements, civil service, retirement. You know, there's a lot of bills filed on behalf of retirement. And I've been a big supporter of our retirees out there. You know, everybody thinks that everybody's getting the golden parachute when they retire from a government agency. And, you know, you only hear about the one person that may get the golden parachute. But, you know, some teachers that I know personally that they retired a few years ago, they're lucky if they're getting $20,000 or $30,000 a year. Some are 80 years old and they're still going back teaching, tutoring students part-time just to make ends meet, because some of these employers have to decide between putting food on the table or to be able to afford their their medicine, even though they may have some insurance and they have different options to apply for other types of insurance. Not everyone's making the golden parachute. So I try to work with our retirement boards to protect some of the retirees out there. And there's a lot of bills filed in reference to that. The other committees I'm on, I've asked to stay on the Veterans Committee. We did a lot of great things in the Commonwealth for the veterans with the Welcome Home Bill, the Valor Act 1 and 2. But I'm also working, currently I met with some people from my district. They have a Veterans Business Owners Association, and they help out veterans to start their own business. And it's a great incentive. Right now it's no cost to the taxpayers. They raise their own funds. They're looking at different groups that may be able to donate to this agency. And they've got a tremendous success rate, about 80% success rate with people that they've helped start their own business. And as you know, you're a restaurant owner. In the restaurant field, there's not many success stories. So far, you were doing a great job with your restaurant, but you've seen it time and time again that sometimes when people start their own business, before they are successful, they may fail three or four times at least. So it's helped out a tremendous amount of veterans, and we're trying to spread that across the Commonwealth. They do several cities and towns on the South Shore. They've even helped people up in New Hampshire that are coming down into Massachusetts, working with them as well. So I think it's a great idea. I met with the new chairman, Walter Timmelty, talked to him about it. We're going to be meeting with some of the veterans in the South Shore area. And Mike Rush, who is a former chairman of this committee, he still serves in the Navy Reserves as an officer. So I'm going to be talking with him about it. That's an important thing. And then I'm on a couple other committees. But a big thing that I served on prior to this year was the Revenue Committee. And, you know, the economy's been doing great. Unemployment's been down. But I worry about the economy taking a downturn. And we get the list every month of, for instance, real estate values. And again, you're very well-versed in real estate. The month of December, real estate, as we know, has been going through the roof. Even in the South Shore, never mind Boston era. But the month of December, the values did go up, but not as big as they went up a year ago December. So usually the economy goes in 10 to 15-year cycles. We've been reaping the rewards of a good economy over that past 10 or 15 years, but I worry about the downturn because revenue in the Commonwealth has been down the past couple months. And our job as legislators is to deliver the funding back to the communities. School funding is important, transportation, and public safety. So we reaped a good tenure of good revenue coming into the Commonwealth, but it's starting to slow down. We do have potential of getting new revenue from the Airbnbs, you know, the gaming legislation. There's other ideas up there, fantasy sports and all that. So that has potential to bring more revenue into the Commonwealth, but it's not there yet. So, you know, we got the new casino opening up in Everett. We have the one in Springfield. I did visit that with a bunch of legislators. The fears that were from people worried about, is it going to bring unwanted people to the community? Is it going to cause more crime? It's gone the exact opposite way. The city of Springfield was able to retain a lot of revenue. They were able to hire more police officers. Some of the businesses close proximity to the casino have improved their facades in their buildings, made investments. They cleaned up some of the liquor establishments in the area. And then there was a worry also, well, is it going to affect the businesses if a casino is going to draw people away from their business just to go to the casino, if the casino has a restaurant or a social place or whatever. And we went to an Italian restaurant, deli, down the street in Springfield that is far enough away from the casino, and they said that they haven't been affected either way. The gentleman owns a gold mine Italian restaurant. The food was excellent, and he said it hadn't affected him either way. So the fears that were laid out to the people, and like even because there's one proposed in Brockton, again, the Gaming Commission hasn't approved it, but all those fears and concerns, it's been nothing but a boom for the area so far. Again, it's only been licensed for a short window, and we have the other one in Everett. And the law that was passed is the Gaming Commission can approve up to three casinos. They don't have to approve three. Sure. They can just leave the two. But, you know, we got a potential one in Brockton, which would bring a lot of revenue to the city of Brockton and adding to the Commonwealth. And like Route 123, for instance, we paid that with state money. That would have been paid for by the new casino proposal. So that's still on the table. They have a new chairman of the Gaming Commission, and they're supposed to have some more hearings. We're going to see what happens with that. And the Indians, right now they weren't officially recognized because they were in the game as well, like the proposal in Taunton or further south.
Yeah, Mashpee.
Even three casinos, even if they get approved separate in the private sector, they can still get federal jurisdiction down the road if something happens at the federal level. And again, the one proposed from Brockton, they said whether that goes through or not, they're not worried about whether the Indian tribe in Taunton or in Mashpee or anywhere else gets approved. They still think they can make a successful go of it.
Right. Again, we're speaking with the state senator, Mike Brady. Just real quick on the Brockton Casino and where things stand with the Taunton Casino. My understanding is that's taken a different turn because it was the Department of Interior that was somehow on the side of the Mashpee Wampanoag Indians, where now it's the Department of Interior is working with the East Taunton residents because the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe is, I guess, filing suit against the government for not recognizing it because of the Act of 1934, the Kacheri Act. And again, we're getting into the weeds on this, but I would be interested. So it sounds to me like you would support and maybe would even write a letter of support to the Gaming Commission to have Brockton be considered for a casino. Am I accurate?
Yeah, that is correct. I have already been at hearings with the Gaming Commission on this. I've met with a lot of residents. And again, I wanted to make sure all my questions were answered when I visited Springfield. Mm-hmm. For any of the concerns that were elated by my constituents that live around the fairgrounds, and all of the fears that were brought up, they said none of those have come to the forefront. And I look at the jobs that we need for our area, the revenue that we need for our area, and they were good, decent jobs. And so I've been at the hearings, I've written letters, I've talked to a lot of people in the city of Brockton and some of the surrounding towns. And again, right now, like you said, this issue with the Indian one could be in the courts. But last I heard from the Gaming Commission, prior to this year and prior to the former Chairman Crosby was on the board, Brockton was the only proposal at the fairgrounds that applied for a casino outside of the Indian tribes. But what has happened since, they were looking to reopen up the bids again. So they haven't had a hearing on this particular new proposal yet for the same location. So we're waiting to see what happens with that. But, and that's not the only thing we're looking at. There's so many other ideas on the table to bring revenue into the Commonwealth.
Well, let me ask you one last question. And before we let you go again, we're speaking with State Senator Mike Brady. Governor already put forth his fiscal 20 budget. Have you had a chance to take a look at it? And what's some of the things that you're going to discuss with the folks on the Senate's Ways and Means Committee as you guys decide what you're going to do when you put your version together?
Yeah, a big thing is school funding. We did 99% of the things that we have come before us, we get resolved by the end of the fiscal cycle. And sometimes it doesn't get done by the July 1st deadline. We had to do a one-month extension budget this past year. But a big thing that did not get finalized, because if there's a difference between the governor and the House and the Senate, it goes to a Commerce Committee. And usually the Commerce Committee gets things resolved. There's three members of the House, three members of the Senate. We send it back to the governor. If he wants to make any changes and vetoes, he can do so, and then we may override his vetoes or we may agree on his changes. But what happened this past year, the education formula did not get finalized. We did increase funding for education, which was great, but there was some more funding we could have given to the communities in the Commonwealth that would have been a big boost to education funding. And I hear from, that's a big priority. I've gone to the Whitman-Hanson School Committee meetings. I've met with officials in Hanover and Halifax and so forth. And education funding is a priority, and of course, the city of Brockton. So hopefully, I think this is a priority from the leadership in the House and the Senate. There is the governor's proposal, which would increase funding for education, but there's also some legislation filed. I know Senator Chang Diaz filed some legislation that would even increase more funding. And again, as you know, sometimes there's a piece of legislation filed that there may be amendments to and so forth, but I believe that that's a big priority all across the board from all of our colleagues in the House and the Senate and the governor, to increase funding for education for our students in the Commonwealth. And that's our number one important priority moving forward. And I hope that we will take that up as soon as possible. And, as you know, there's a new chairman of the Education Committee on the Senate side. So hopefully we get moving with that soon.
Well, Senator, we want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be a part of the radio program. And we'll look forward to having you on in a couple of weeks.
Thank you. And just a couple other things. I did file a bill on assault and battery on emergency personnel. I work with public safety personnel across the board. We make sure that they're protected and doing their job. And even motorcyclists. Now, this is a piece of legislation I get asked to file every year. It doesn't necessarily get passed, but there's a lot of motorcycle association groups out there that want a choice of whether to wear a helmet or not. I myself wouldn't trust myself on a motorcycle without a helmet. I don't even trust myself riding a motorcycle. I'm not a young man anymore. But, you know, I meet with the Blue Knights groups. I meet with other organizations. In, like, some states around us, they have a choice whether they want to wear a helmet or not. So I get asked to file this bill, and there's other legislators who file the bill, and we'll see what happens this year. But there is some public safety organizations like AAA that have been working against this because their job is to protect riders out there. So
right.
That's a bill that gets refiled every year. And then there's a couple other things that we're looking at, you know, retirement system for public employees as well we're looking to do.
Well, we thank you. Make sure you thank Ricky Branca for us. Ricky did a great job. And anytime I reach out and ask you to have you on the program, he does a great job in scheduling. So please thank Rick for me.
I definitely will, and I want to just, you know, thank you and Richie Rosen for having me on tonight, and thank you to all the constituents who voted me in to get reelected this year, and I look forward to working all across the district, and look forward to going on your show again.
Excellent, and remember, now, soon, Richie's going to be opening the pub at McGuigan's. You might have to come down like a
patio.
Special.
The patio.
What did they say? The patio at McGuigan's. You might have to come down with a special because I was trying to get up.
He may actually find an invitation one day to a ribbon cutting.
Really? You know, he might have to show up with a citation. What do you think? Like a special citation for Richard Rosen.
We're good.
You know, okay. Well, if you want to bring him for me, I'm fine. That would work for me. But, Senator, as always, thank you so much for being on the program.
Well, thank you. I've gone to Richie's restaurant many times. He's got a wide array of good seafood. You know, I got to eat more salmon for my cholesterol, so I enjoy having dinner there. And, you know, my sister raised her family in Whitman, and my aunt and uncle were very active with the VFW in Whitman. So Whitman's right next door to me in Brockton, and I get over there as much as possible.
Well, we'll see you soon.
See you, Michael.
All right,
thanks.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
There he is, the state senator. Michael Brady joining us, and yeah, the patio at McGuigan's.
The patio at McGuigan's.
I don't know what the hell I just said. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about McGuigan's Pub and the patio at McGuigan's.
Only if you get it right.
Only if I get it right. Here on Monday Night Talk, you're listening here on 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, Chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Brennan's has a reputation that precedes us. We're very hard when it comes to carding people. Over the years, we've gotten a little soft. Well, now that we're selling the market's leading male and female enhancement products, we're getting hard again. If you're under 30 years of age, better come with your ID every time. Brennan's Smoke Shop. You want our products, and we want to get you there. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And welcome back to Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. This happens to be Richard Rosen, who I am the next guest. So I guess at this point, we'll just bring Kevin Tachi back in to introduce me.
That would be fantastic.
Kevin,
thank
welcome.
You so much.
Welcome to your show.
Just in case Edward's listening.
You know, it's my, hopefully he is. You know, this could be my debut, and, you know, I'm auditioning.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Ooh, that could be good. What would you do a talk show about?
I don't know, same with you. I mean, you don't do about much. I mean, you know, I could do what you do.
You think so?
No. People have no idea how much research and homework that you do and what it takes to put a show like this together.
It's because I give you all the paperwork. You walk in and go, oh, here's all the stuff we're talking about. You go, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this? No, it's fantastic that we have sponsors like you, like Tiny and Sons, like Signature Healthcare. It's important that you guys are part of the show, and it's great when you're in as a co-host because we have a lot of fun.
And you know how much I love radio.
And there's a lot of shenanigans that go on too, as well, behind the scenes.
Yeah, this stuff that goes on that we don't want to lift the curtain, as they say.
Yeah, you don't want to give them a peek behind the curtain.
And as you know, I do occasionally appear on another radio show.
You do,
often.
Yeah, on the AM side.
On the AM side,
yeah,
heard in 38 states by a million people. So, a little larger than this crowd, but not
just
by much.
Just a little bit,
not much.
But no, we're here to. This is your segment. Talk a little bit about the latest going on with McGuigan's. We know right around the corner. Now, I got to ask you first, are you not coming up on a special anniversary? Is it this year or next year?
No, next year. We just celebrated our 9th anniversary. It's hard to believe that 9 years has gone
it's
by
flow.
Since we... It's crazy. And, you know, Senator Brady was right. When people open businesses, it's tough.
It's very tough.
Especially the restaurant business. I mean, it probably took 4 years, maybe a little bit longer, before we kind of, like, took off. And since then, things have been terrific. I mean, 9 years later, we're doing bigger numbers than we've ever done, which is not easy to say in the restaurant business. So it's exciting. But the senator was right. It's tough.
It's nice to be able to go in there, go into McGuigan's Pub from time to time. You're always changing up the menu. You got different things that you're doing. We still doing Singo? Still doing that?
Still doing Singo on Mondays. Irish Session on Tuesday. Half Price Pizza on Wednesday. And then we have entertainment Friday, Saturday. Yeah.
You're always changing that up.
We change it, often. We try to move things around often. It's you know, it's funny because I think I was talking to someone about this the other day, that when we first opened, I think people thought it was just a bar room, and then people realized it was
more than that.
But it took a while. When you opened, people didn't. I mean, nobody thought I was. They assumed, and I don't think anybody thought I was going to survive. If you remember, 9 years ago was the worst economy of our life,
sure,
which is not a bad time to open a business. But they thought we were a bar. And I've had people tell me this. And then they thought, you know, we serve food. And then all of a sudden people realized that we were a really good bar and a really good restaurant. And business took off. And I'll tell you, the thing that I'm the proudest about is that has become not only the place to go around, I mean, you know, where everybody, it's like the local Cheers where everybody knows your name, but it is really a true family restaurant. And I was telling this to somebody yesterday, from my perspective, and I'm there quite often, even though I have another job, that I've seen kids grow up there that started coming in when they were 7 when we opened, and now they're 16, and they're driving. Or kids that were however old they were, now they're drinking at the bar. It's, from my perspective, and kids that I've watched physically grow up that are now taller than me. I know that's not saying much, but it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool from my perspective.
Knowing that right around the corner is St. Patrick's Day, kind of a big time of year for pubs.
March is historically our best month of the year, every year. And this year, where St. Patrick's Day is on a Sunday, my thought is we may have the biggest month that we've ever had. The last time that St. Patrick's Day was on a Saturday, and I don't know if it was, I don't remember when it was, but it was the busiest month we'd ever had. And I'm speculating, because what happens is it isn't one day. We start serving corned beef and cabbage on Thursday, and we'll serve it right through till probably Sunday, if not till Monday.
My goodness. But how do you keep up with the demand?
It's not easy, frankly. I mean, not only that, it's the Guinness. If you come in to our restaurant, and I don't remember what day they deliver, but the entire back hall will be loaded with kegs of Guinness. And we go through that, and we go through several hundred pounds of corned beef and cabbage. And, of course, we have entertainment Saturday and Sunday, and we have Irish step dances. And I'm still working on trying to get some bagpipers, but I'm not sure that's going to happen this year. But we always have Irish step dances, and we have a lot of fun, and it's kind of a crazy time.
Knowing that McGuigan's Pub keeps you so busy, how are you going to be a little bit more careful with your time once the patio at McGuigan's is open? Because that's coming soon.
It's a good question. Well, the good news is it's only across the street from one another, so I don't have to walk far.
Right.
But, you know, I will certainly be in the pub keeping my eye on things and saying hi to everybody. We're really excited about opening this new restaurant. It's been a number of months. I mean, it's several months that we've been working on the physical building. And we're getting down there and, you know, we're now formulating the menu. And people ask why, how, you know, they ask a lot of questions. And, you know, why? Because I probably am somewhat insane for doing it. But, you know, seriously, if I was 10 years younger, I'd probably open 10 more restaurants. But this restaurant, the patio at McGuigan's, is going to be entirely different than the pub. As you know, the pub has a very large comfort food style menu. The patio is going to have a much smaller, a little bit more upscale menu that doesn't necessarily translate into a lot more money, because it's not, you know. You have to remember who you're playing to. And, you know, it's Whitman. And, you know, the demographics is we do draw from a lot of places, East Bridgewater, Hanson, Brockton. But, you know, what's funny is years ago there was never a restaurant in Whitman Center. And now all of a sudden you're going to have two. And, I mean, you've heard me say this many times, that Whitman has not only a center but a very thriving center. And it's almost like now a destination point to go, because we have a couple of really good restaurants, mm-hmm. or we will shortly. So it's kind of cool, and this place is so different.
So when you opened up McGuigan's, it was about the 54-foot mahogany bar. It was
right.
about the number of screens and the food. What are some of the different amenities that the new restaurant's going to have?
So the location is across Legion Parkway in Whitman, yep. and it was a parking lot. I bought it around 2008. It had been a trash-strewn hole in the ground. It had been a parking lot for over 30 years, 35 years. And I bought it, filled it in, and made a parking lot out of it. And then this idea of a patio came up. And somebody was standing in the parking lot one day for one of our road races, probably last year, and said, you know, I was at a restaurant that had a patio, and it wasn't attached. And all of a sudden, the wheels started turning. So from that came this crazy idea of this building. So this building, and nobody thought that it was big enough to house a building. And when they go in now, they're all like, I can't believe how big it is. The new restaurant is 3 feet wider than the pub. It's 8 feet shorter, but I've made up that space by adding a second floor above the restaurant. So I built it kind of looks like a lean-to, but it's really sleek. It's black. It's all glass. There's 28 feet of glass that open out onto Washington Street, and there's 28 feet of glass. They're all 14-foot sections. It's like telescopic. And there's 28 feet of glass that open on Legion Parkway. So I built a 23-foot brick wall. So when you walk in, you look at this wall and go, wow. But now, we just had the floor finished the other day, and it's epoxy. It was a one-week process to do the floor, several days of drying. It's now covered with ram board, so workers don't damage the floor. It looks like a huge cloud. And then we have a 30-foot bar, and there's seven 55-inch TVs on the brick. And then if you're sitting at the bar and you look left up, I have a video wall. And that's four 65-inch TVs. So it's kind of like 9 feet by 5.5 feet. So those four TVs, you can have four shows, three shows, two, or one right. big picture. So that's going to be kind of cool. And the lighting and the whole facility. So what we're working on is making sure that when we open, we have a really good product like we do at McGuigan's. You know, you only get that first impression once, as they say.
Right.
So, but everything is going to be totally different. I mean, even the silverware, the glasses, the plates, never mind all the food. So everything is going to be totally different. And I think you'll enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. I already enjoy your first restaurant. So I don't see why it would be any different for the second one. And it just makes me proud to be able to help to promote the second one, because I know how hard you have worked in the different ideas. And you know, your first restaurant has been recognized over and over for the certain little things that it's offered, whether it's stuff that's on the menu or even it's road racing.
So speaking of the road race,
yes,
we have now moved the
like that
nice segue.
Like that?
Yeah. See, I'm learning that stuff as, you know, co-host, a.k.a. host.
Yeah. You're almost the host now.
So we've moved the date up May 19th. And it's hard to believe that this is our 10th year. It's our 10th year for the road race.
Okay.
And in the 9 previous years, we've raised and distributed close to $40,000, which is a lot of money for a little restaurant in a little town. And half of that money has gone to the local food pantry, Whitman Food Pantry.
Fantastic.
And then all kinds of other groups and organizations. So that's coming up. And the patio, you know, we got hung up in that whole National Grid lockout.
Mm-hmm.
We had gas put on the property last week. We don't have it in the building, so.
Still working on it.
Still working on it. And we're working on the building, and I really wasn't pushing it because I just want everything to be 110% before we open. We have now come up with some dates, and I think it's
potential dates, right?
Potential dates. I was going to open Monday, May.
Is it like a soft opening, or is it going to be like a grand opening?
No, we're going to do a soft opening.
Okay.
We're going to do. So I was going to open Monday, May 6th, until the other day when I was told that that's town meeting.
Oh yeah, it is.
And I'm guessing that it could go.
And you
two
want to
nights.
Be front row? Yeah.
I'm guessing it's going to go two nights.
Might go three.
No, I can't go three.
Never say can't in women.
Wednesday, May 8th, we're going to have an event that's an official ribbon cutting.
Ooh.
And then Thursday and Friday, we're going to do invitation-only soft openings. And then our official opening will be Saturday, several days before the road race.
See, I still think you should get a citation from the Senate. I think there was...
Michael will produce one.
Yeah, I'll ask him again.
Oh, God.
I could even ask, you know, our state rep.
Just you never know. He might be there that night as well.
Might be christening it. Yeah.
You never know. Yeah. We are going to have an official ribbon cutting.
Wow.
So, it's all good.
Fantastic.
It's all good. It's all fun.
Anything in closing? Now, are you going to have a website? You're designing a website for that, too?
It's actually being designed right now. We have a phone number, but it's not going to get you anywhere. But the website is being designed. The menu. So, we went the other day, my wife, my daughter, and my daughter, Danielle, by the way, who is the general manager of, will be both restaurants, probably hates me right now.
She's the best.
Danielle's a good girl.
She's the best.
And her mother, Mrs. McGuigan, you know, she works pretty hard at it as well. I forgot what I was going to say.
Don't do that. You can't do that. Well, you see, how can you host a radio show if you're going to forget what you're going to say? What were we going to say?
You changed my train of thought, and I was looking at something else. Like, the people need to know the shenanigans that are going on around here sometimes. Yeah.
So we'll talk about the website.
We were talking about the logo.
Good call, good catch, Glenn.
Glenn, nice job.
That's, warming up at the bullpen. That's Glenn's, why, Glenn's like, the website.
Speaking of shenanigans, the website was being done, but we went for a food tasting, as I said, with my wife, my daughter, and chef. And we went to this one of the purveyors, and we blew up my logo that I had spent all this money designing and having done. So now the logo is being redesigned and done, and you'll be amazed when you see it, as will you, Glenn, because it's actually going to look like Honeycomb.
Wow.
So it is going to be kind of cool.
Fantastic. And, another nice segue.
And I think they're going to dot the I in patio with a little B.
That would be fantastic.
I don't want to give it away any more secrets, but...
No.
Thank God Glenn's here. I had no idea what I was talking about.
Good thing you remembered the website.
Which is a great segue.
And I guess Glenn Cornell, who's going to be joining us in just a couple of moments here, talk about the director of the Bee School.
Director of the Bee School, Plymouth County Beekeepers
Association. We're talking about bees, and more bees. That's it for the first hour of Monday Night Talk. Really good job. We're going to come back second hour. We're going to talk about Dollars for Scholars and bees. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
WATD FM Marshfield. WATD Brockton.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny and Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. People ask me, is there anything they can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
Is there anything I can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
See? There is. Those big gravel trucks, when they're being loaded, rocks get stuck in the framework of the bed. Truck hits a bump, rock hits your windshield. It pays to stay way back.
It pays to stay way back.
However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, Chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And welcome back to the second hour of Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi
and Richard Rosen.
So our next guest is a gentleman who I've known for a while, whose name is Glenn Cornell, who happens to be a longtime standing member of the Plymouth County Beekeepers Association, as well as the director of the Bee School for the Plymouth County Beekeepers Association. So we're going to spend a half hour chatting about bees and the different bees and the Bee School. And bees in general, and maybe Kevin will bring up the TV show that he produces for me. That is an award-winning show.
Seen in 36 and Glenn, communities.
Yeah, all over the country.
Six states.
From coast to coast. As well as Glenn has been a guest on several shows over the last couple of years.
Yep.
And we're going to start our third year filming soon. So let me bring back Kevin Tocci.
So the first thing I have to ask both of you, and I'm sure we're going to get two different answers from each of
you. Wait, I just want to interrupt. Because if you ask a beekeeper, if you ask three beekeepers the same question, you'll get five different answers.
That's good. Good thing I don't have five here. What was your fascination with bees? What made you want to be a beekeeper? We'll start with you, Richard.
So, I don't know. It was one of those crazy things that, you know, I would hear about people being beekeepers. And finally, a friend of mine had a beehive. This was 10 years ago. A buddy of mine had a beehive. So, I started asking him. Actually, he's an oyster farmer. And I started asking him questions about bees. And the more I asked, the more intrigued. So then I went out and I bought a couple books and studied them. And then I found out about the Plymouth County Beekeepers Association. And I actually went to school for several weeks before I got my first package of bees, which we'll talk about. And I'm going to tell you, I've been doing it for several years now. And like I said the other day when we were taping our show, I still don't know anything about bees. It is the most fascinating lifestyle of anything in the world. I mean, the whole lifestyle, what they do while they're alive. I mean, people, and I said this the other day as well, that people are going to think I'm crazy. But I had heard that a honeybee, unless you remember we're talking about honeybees, not bumblebees, which are cute and furry.
Or yellow jackets.
Or yellow jackets, which are evil.
Angry.
They're evil bees, but honeybees, and I had heard, read something that they could actually count to four. The other day, there was a report that said they could actually do math. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but who's to question these people that do all these studies that know that there's 28,000 species of bees? But I just find the whole thing fascinating. You think that they're scary, and I suppose if you're not used to them, they are. But you can walk around and pick them up in your yard, and if they fly into your pool, you pick them up on your hand, and you walk around with them on your finger, and they're not going to bother you unless you swat them. And then, because they know they're going to die if they sting you, and they don't want to do that. Glenn, what's your fascination?
Yeah. So I got started really from my brother. I was reading about honeybees and just in general, just reading a lot of stuff about honeybees, and I discussed it with my younger brother, and he said, oh, no, not me. I'm scared to death of bugs, especially bees. They sting you. I want no part of them. And we had talked on and off a couple of years about it, and then all of a sudden, one day, he came up to me and says, guess what I have? And I said, what? And he said, I have a honeybee hive. And I said, no. I'd been reading about these for 5 years, and here he buys the hive, Mr. Afraid. So now, guess what? Older brother had to jump into it. And I'll tell you, I jumped right into it, right into the middle of it. I knew I was going to love it. It's one of those things that you just, it changes from day to day, from week to week. Just when you think you have it figured out, something else happens. Something comes up. And science is changing month to month on these honeybees. What we thought we knew, it's not quite what we knew. And that's the challenge.
I have to tell you, being the guy who's behind the camera watching you, Glenn, and Richard, and the other folks who we've brought in front of the camera, it's amazing how I could see how you're the director of the Bee School. And I could see how Richard has the passion, because you guys, you talk about it with such passion, whether we're learning about mites or you know, beetles getting into the hive, or making sure that the frames are just right, and you guys know your stuff. We discovered, you know, we found a new queen, and it was like one of those things where we were able to mark a new queen.
Yeah,
it was we had gone over ground that it had never been gone over before. I think the three of us, right?
Right.
Yeah. And that's fantastic stuff.
It is pretty cool.
It is very cool.
And I'm amazed that day we were filming at my house when he discovered the new queen, and then he marked it. I mean, that was like pretty amazing to me. These things are all, and like Glenn said, it's different every day. And how many hives do you have, Glenn?
So of my own, I've got somewhere between, say, 18 and 20 in a couple different locations.
But, my goodness.
You know, quantity is not necessarily the answer to this. Yep. I mean, I'm not saying this is the way to go with the quantity. Everybody thinks, well, if I start out with one, five's better. And if I have five, ten's better. That's not necessarily the answer. I think what's happening to them is out of the 10, nine of them are disappearing. So they figure, well, next year I'll go to 12, and maybe three of them will hang around. And it's not the answer. Our bees around here are really starving. We don't have the flowers. We just don't have it.
Is that the biggest challenge to being able to maintain bees and keep the population? Because anybody who pays attention to what's going on with our ecological system knows that the bees are, you know, there's a lot happening, whether it's pesticides, whether it's things that are happening inside the hives, whether it's they're not able to survive the winters up here. There are different things that are the enemy of the honeybee.
So I think at least in eastern Massachusetts or Plymouth County, we just don't have the vegetation here. And then you start throwing a lot of beekeepers in here where they start doing this with the 5 and 8 and 10 hives, and we're into this small area. The bees are really starving. It's one of our main problems here, and it's hard to tell beekeepers that. What a bee sees is not what we see. I've gone to many a yard, and somebody said, boy, this is a beautiful yard. The bees are going to survive here, and they don't. They starve to death. It's just...
Because there's not enough pollinators.
Is that
correct?
There's not enough vegetation for the pollinators. We're actually throwing too many pollinators into an environment that has no vegetation. So if nothing else, what I try out of the school, we have a percentage every year of people that don't get bees. But if nothing else, if I can get over in the school, is to get some of these people that don't get bees, put some kind of flowers in your yard. If everybody did that, this vegetation is going to grow by leaps and bounds, and that's what we need. That's what we really need.
I think one of my producer actually has a question. Go ahead, Ben.
Along that same lines, education for people not to fear them. Yeah, plant flowers. Plant as many flowers as humanly possible. But also, don't get upset when bees actually come to visit. Most people have the sense of, hey, we're trying to help them. Let's not smack them when they arrive. But it's hard because human instinct is to, oh, bee, geez, fight or flight, one of the two. And people sometimes don't remember that in an attempt to try to help them. They end up smacking them at the last second. And that's something that's got to be addressed, I think, because I've seen that too many times.
It took me a long time before you get used to the bees being around, and if they land on you, not to freak out. The worst I ever got stung was the first year, and I had taken my veil off, and I was walking away from a hive, and one landed just below my right ear. And your natural instinct is to swat it, and I didn't. I got stung. But over the last several years, I've only been stung a couple of times. And generally, it's your own fault.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get stung doing the show in the finger because you don't have gloves on or whatever. Or we're taping and one goes down my shoe.
I actually had one go down. I told you. I didn't even realize it inadvertently because I try to be careful because that was one of the first things Glenn says is if they're on you, don't.
Don't swat them away.
Because if you do, you're asking for trouble. Something happened. Well, I think one of them got up my shirt, and I itched. I felt itchy. All of a sudden, it stung me, and then that releases pheromones.
Correct.
And then before I knew it, a couple more stung me. I'm like, I'm running from a car.
The important thing to know that for people listening, if you do get stung, you need to take the stinger out immediately because the thing will keep
pumping.
Into you for a while, and that's you got to get it out as quickly as you can. Put some ice on it. Hydrocortisone, is that what you said?
Yeah, it was like Cordate or something like that. You can keep the itching down.
Yeah, it goes away really quickly, the pain.
But I can tell you right now, 99.9% of the time, if a bee wants to sting you, it's going to happen so fast you won't see him.
Mm.
It's like a dive bomber coming after you. You won't see it. You're just going to feel the impact.
Well, you heard me say the other day, a couple of years ago, I got stung once, and it was at Glenn's house. And we were just chatting, and the thing came up and dive-bombed me right in the chin. It was like, he has aggressive bees, apparently. So my bees don't do that.
They knew who the enemy was.
They knew. We've mentioned it a couple of times here. So there's a bee school. I know we're probably a couple of weeks in. So when does bee school start, and how many weeks does it go at the Plymouth County Beekeepers Association in Hanson?
Okay, so it's a basic beginner's bee school. We could never tell you what you need to know to really have you make your bees survive all the way. It's an ongoing proposition. But I generally, we start the bee school the Thursday after the first of the year, the second Thursday after the first of the year in January.
Oh, we're really late in the game here, aren't we?
Right. It goes 8 weeks. It's tough. I mean, we have to do this in the off season. I wish we could do it on the on season, but in order for people to buy their equipment, get their bees, get up and started, it has to be in the off season. So we finish just about the time the bee packages are coming, which is the end of April, if everything goes well down south. All the bees come from down south.
Yep.
And we try and teach everybody everything there is to know to get started. And then you're going to have to hook into somebody to go from there. Richard saw me do the hive inspection, and I always claim the first time I had a mentor years ago, and he came down and showed me how to do a hive inspection. I go, is that really what I read in the book? I couldn't believe how smooth he was, how he didn't disrupt the bees.
It's like me watching Glenn, who's kind of a mentor. He's pretty smooth. Glenn is pretty smooth with the way he does things. Like, you were there the day we did the episode about the sugar shake, which to me was just, and he does it so easy. I couldn't do that in a million years.
Yeah.
And it's pretty smooth.
He does it effortlessly.
And the school is amazing, especially for a newbie, someone that has never had anything to do with bees. It can be overwhelming. I mean, I go to it every year, and I might not go for all the weeks, but I'll go for a couple of different classes. And I sat in the back of the room the first week, and I'm saying to myself, some of these people are so overwhelmed right now because it's something totally new, totally different, and they're getting so much intake of information that you hope that they succeed.
One of these years, and Rich, you and I got to kind of stay on course. If with permission, I'd love to tape the bee schools.
Why not?
Or maybe just tape. Maybe if you probably have it all committed to memory, to maybe tape. You know, you kind of giving a rundown.
You're going to have to speak to his agent before you can just go
in. So, yeah.
You're going to have to talk to his agent.
I wish I had an agent. No, but I have quite a few PowerPoints that I keep them up to date all the time. Sure. I change them from year to year. And that's really my map to what I'm going to teach that night. And I don't do it all myself. Believe me, I have a couple of women that teach, another man that teaches. I like to see the women's perspective because we have a lot of women in the class.
Sure.
And we have one gentleman, Greg Rain, who does all the equipment. He's very good at it. He spends a lot of time. He spells it right out so that the people don't have to do a lot of research other than where would I get this a little bit cheaper. Yep. He tells them exactly what to buy.
Tip of the cap to his missus also, president, Ann.
Yep, his missus is the president. And she takes the bee orders when we're there. We guarantee people at least one or two packages if they take the school. It's really a good deal for $50.
And, you know,
go ahead. I know what you're going to say.
No, what is really cool is the day that you pick up the bee packages. Now, you've been there a couple times. Yeah. We filmed last year, and it was the first episode of our second season when I stood in front of the garage with all the members from the beekeepers.
9 million
bees. And I said, so we're going to now go see what 9 million bees look like. And you know, I'm sure people are like, what?
So low hum.
If you take 900 packages, and a package is a wooden box that have approximately 10,000 bees in them. They have a can of sugar water, and they have the queen in a little separate cage. So if there's 10,000 bees in each package and you have 900 packages, it's 9 million bees. Mm-hmm. And when we walked into that barn last year, Kevin, and we walked into one room and then another, you could actually hear the sound of the buzzing, and the temperature in the room went up a little bit. But that's pretty cool when you actually get those bees and you bring them home. So you'll appreciate this. So the very first year we had bees, we took the first box, and I took the staples out of the top little cover that goes over the sugar water. And the queen, she rides along in her own little cage. Well, this one happened to have a little staple in the strap. And I didn't realize at the time I shouldn't have taken that staple out. So when I lifted the can of sugar water, the queen fell into the 10,000 bees. I can't say on the air what I actually looked at my wife and said, because at the time I was hyperventilating. I had sweat pouring off of me, and I got to stick my hand in the middle of the tent. I mean, I was petrified.
Yeah.
It was literally a rookie mistake.
But you did it, though.
I did it, and actually, it worked out really well. But I can tell you one thing. It has never happened again. No.
And you're not the first one. You won't be the last one.
And why is it a bad thing that he dropped it in the middle of all those bees? Why is that a bad move?
Because I had to stick my hand in to take it out.
Other than that, though. No. But there's got to be a reason why.
Well, I bothered him, but it's not.
No.
Other than bothering him, it doesn't really. You doesn't don't want to go that part? Route. There's an easier route to go.
She's in her own little cage.
I mean, if you can just pick that cage out and hold it in your hand, I don't have to dip my hand down into all those bees to get it. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's not the end of the world. Yeah. And like I say, you're not the first one. You won't be the last one to do this.
And like you said, the only one that bothered was me. Yeah. And it was like, oh, boy. Because she's in her own little cage and she has a tendency.
And they can be quick, too.
Yeah,
bees. They can be quick. Yeah. The queen bee can be quick.
So the worst thing you can do is actually let the queen out.
I've never done that.
Because they haven't really got accustomed to their queen yet, and they don't realize that their queen that they were taken away from has disappeared. They will kill her in a heartbeat.
Yep.
And it happens two or three times every year that people, you know, you have a sugar end and you have a cork end, and we tell everybody just take the little cover away from the sugar end and let the bees, it'll take eat them the 3 days to eat through the sugar, and they take out the cork end, which is a quick release, and they say, oh, my queen's dead. Now you're doomed. You're doomed.
And again, they kill the queen, which is part of this whole life cycle of what they do. There's 9,500 worker bees that are all female. There's a couple hundred guys, drones.
They got their job.
And they'll kill her. It's the whole life cycle is just, it's so amazing.
Is this an expensive or costly hobby?
I'm going to say over the last 8 to 10 years, more and more and more people have got into it. And as naturally as something becomes popular, so goes.
Drives the price down.
Right. I'm going to say right about now to buy everything basic, it's probably over $1,000.
Okay.
When I started, you could buy the whole kit and caboodle for maybe $250.
Oh.
So it's dramatically increased.
Okay.
A lot of it is shipping. You know, I mean, a lot of the manufacturers now are saying, well, we'll give you free shipping, but you know they're picking up their shipping costs somewhere. It's heavy. It's all wood. There's some metal involved. So the shipping is a little bit of a deal.
So somebody signs up, and again, we're speaking with Glenn Cornell. He's with the Plymouth County Beekeepers Association, director of the Bee School, also a mentor, colleague of Richard Rosen, my co-host this evening. Someone goes in, they take the classes. You mentioned it earlier as far as mentors. And I was prowling around on the website. There's actually a little drop-down for mentors.
Has a mentor list, right.
How important is a mentor? A bee mentor?
Well, like I say, I read the book for 5 or 6 years. I scoured through books. I thought I knew quite a bit until I got my first bees, and I was lost. I mean, I'll tell you what, I got my first bees.
This picture doesn't match up with this. Hey.
And you've got, now it's live action. Yeah. And I was actually a failure for 2 years, and it was really my wife, thank God, bless her soul, she said to me, I see how frustrated you are. You are so frustrated that you're losing these bees. Do you ever hear of Plymouth County beekeepers? I read it in a little, one of the town magazines or something. And I said, no, no. She says, come on. You're not sleeping nights. That's how bad it was. I wasn't sleeping nights thinking I was killing these bees. And that's how I found Plymouth County.
I told you, I think it's extremely important. I was fortunate enough to have not only after a year or two Glenn to help me, but I had someone else that we both know helped me as well. Extremely important. And you heard me say this before. I went to one of the meetings, not the school, but I went to a meeting at their clubhouse in Hanson one night, and I left. I sat there for 2 hours, and I left, and I got in the car, and I called my wife, and I said, you know what we know about bees? And she said, what? And I went, nothing. And that was after we'd had them for a while because, you know, you listen to these guys and ladies, and it's pretty amazing, but without a mentor, I think you're going to have problems. And I could see without someone helping you how frustrating it would be because your bees are probably going to die the first winter if you really don't know what you're doing. You're going to lose them. And you've just spent over $100 for that package of bees, and you've nurtured them all summer, and you've tried to get some honey, which sometimes you don't. And then it's over. So I could see how frustrating it would be Not having someone like Glenn or another mentor around to help you.
Now, is there a membership fee if somebody wanted to be a part of the association?
So you can just join our association.
Okay.
I mean, for 20, I think it's $20.
Okay.
Or $18 for a family membership. I'm a little off on the price. It's on our website.
Go to the website.
Okay, but somewhere around that, you can just join the membership if you want. But I really don't advise people to say, look, I'm going to go out and do all this on my own and then join the membership. You really need that B school. I hate to say it. You really need the B school. If you're going to do this on your own, you at least should take the B school.
Is it a challenge to be able to keep the bees all year round? Isn't it really a big challenge?
Yes.
Really?
It's worse. I think Ann mentioned this the other night. 15 years ago, people just went and bought bees and stuck them in their backyard and harvested the honey, and then the next year they were off and running again. And today, unfortunately, I mean, a lot of people are seeing 100% failure. And I would say a good beekeeper is probably seeing at least 50.
Really?
So about 50% of your hives are just, no, I don't care how hard you work at it.
It's hard. And I can tell you from experience, it's hard. And I think right now, I think I only have one hive left.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Out of five, you had five?
I had seven.
Seven this year?
Seven, yeah. And I have one that's alive right now. And I'll tell you what's really disheartening is if you actually make it through the winter and they're still alive, and then comes March and they die. Because that can happen. They'll have a warm day and they'll leave and they'll go fly someplace.
Well, more bees die in March from starvation than anything else.
And then they'll die. Right. So, I mean, that's really disheartening. It's very difficult, and it's challenging.
Are you tending to them with sugar water or anything? I mean, what are you doing to kind of sustain
them? Well, you're supposed
them?
To treat the hives, and you leave honey in the hives for them to live during the winter.
Sustain, right?
But you supplement it with fondant and some other things. But you need to treat your hives before you go.
Yeah, they can't use the sugar water because it's got too much water content in it.
This time of the year.
Yeah, it would make them want to fly out to get rid of the water. Mm. And if they fly out and it's 45 degrees, they're not coming back.
Yeah.
They're going to probably go a few feet and that'll be the end of it.
Drop.
Yeah.
Anything we haven't touched upon in regards to somebody wants to get involved with these cute little critters and at least understand nature a little bit better by being a beekeeper?
I mean, I would highly recommend that you research it, and you research it to death before you do it, and you find a mentor, and then you go to school. You got to read some books.
I think the fascinating thing is every time I'm with you two, I learn something. I mean, tonight he mentions that the biggest problem is the reason why that they're not successful up here in the Northeast is because they're starving.
And you know,
because they're starving.
You hear about how important bees are to our society.
They're very important.
There was a thing done a couple of years ago, I think in San Francisco at a Whole Foods, where they took all of the food out of the supermarket that the bees pollinated, and it was over 50% of the stuff that was in the supermarket that was taken out. And when you think about that, and if bees go extinct,
which went bumming,
what were you going to say?
I stopped myself. You saw that.
Yeah, we're going to be sorry. I'll tell you what.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Sorry.
But okay.
Right.
Exactly.
A little bit of a twist to it.
So for all those things that we're used to, the apples, the cherries, the oranges, it's on and on and on and on.
The cranberries, the almonds.
So that was their point. If you walk into the supermarket and 58% of the produce was gone, I think it would be an eye-opener to you.
Sure. And I mean, I think we're struggling these days still. I mean, our population, the human race, is still multiplying. I mean, last I heard is we're somewhere about, 7 billion? Might be a little bit north of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got to feed all these people.
Exactly.
You know, and a cheap plug for our show would be if people are more interested, they could go to YouTube and watch The Buzz Around Bees.
Or I'll do you one better. If you have an access center in your community that hasn't already signed up to something that's called a Telview Mass Access, and you can have them download it. Doesn't cost anything. All they can do is just license it, and they'll join the other 36 communities across the country that are enjoying this program.
Which is really pretty crazy.
I think it's fantastic.
And especially if people that know me, that have known me all my life, and think that
the educators are new you?
The Well, I always say that banging noise you hear is all my old teachers when they're hearing that I'm winning an award for educational and instructional. They're sitting up in their cask, banging their heads. But we have won two awards for education, which
I'm going for more hardware.
Yeah, which I still laugh, educational and instructional. But no, it really is a pretty good show. You know, it's funny. We have people come into the pub with their kids, and they'll get talking about bees because everybody knows I'm a beekeeper. And I'll sit and chat with these kids, and they'll YouTube it before they leave. And it's like they just sit there, and it's the quietest the kids have been all night. You know, and then they go home and they watch the other several episodes. So it's all good.
And what's even better is there's nothing better than local honey.
So true. So.
There's nothing better. And, of course, if you want some, perfect example, go to McGuigan's Pub. On sale. Do you have any on sale, or is it gone?
No, we have some.
We have some.
I know where I'm going next.
And another thing, let me just say that as a, if you want to be a beekeeper, you want to do it just clearly as a hobby, because you will never make any money doing it. And we only have honey at the pub sometimes because I had a good honey year. There's been other years we haven't had honey at the pub.
Yeah, so, if you break even, you're lucky.
Yeah, if you break even, you're lucky, but it's so much fun.
Well, Glenn, you're welcome to stay for the next segment. We got Michael Ganchard, who's kind of hanging out. He's going to be joining us in a few moments here. You're more than welcome to hang out. We're going to talk a little about, do you like food?
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about the taste of Whitman and Hanson. We're going to talk a little bit about the Whitman Hanson Dollars for Scholars.
Oh, cool.
All great stuff. So you're welcome to sit in and join the conversation for a few moments. Michael, don't be afraid. We're going to step aside just for a couple of moments, but when we come back, more Monday Night Talk, the final segment of Monday Night Talk, in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Saturday, November 3rd, 1955, Bobby Palmer gets his brand new basketball backboard nailed in a place on the telephone pole directly in front of old Mrs. Borden's house. Now, way back in 55, all backboards were metal and located at the park. If you wanted your own, you made it yourself, out of wood. And Bobby's was a beauty. He was 10 years old and handy. The problem was old Mrs. Borden.
You get off my lawn, young man! I'm calling the Brady Police Department! Now, you give me that big ball there!
Bobby was not about to give up that basketball. Instead, he gave it a mighty heave at the backboard. The ball hit the rim, shook loose the metal hoop that fell through the windshield of old Mrs. Borden's 49 Hudson.
I'm Tiny of Tiny & Sons Glass. We come to your work or home, and we fix your windshield. Your insurance company covers it. 1-888-64-TINYS. Just call.
What basketball hoop?
Be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
And welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And the last segment tonight is going to be co-hosted by Kevin Tocci. No, just kidding. We have with us tonight...
I'm okay with that.
Mr. Michael Ganschert, who is the president of Whitman Hansen Dollars for Scholars. This is kind of like Whitman Night.
Which, a little bit.
It makes me feel kind of at home. But Michael does an absolutely amazing job at raising money to give out to Whitman Hansen and Social Evoke students, right?
And private school students.
And, yeah, private schools. Before I turn this over to Kevin Tocci for his Monday Night Talk, you got to answer one question for everybody listening. How much money do you raise a year, number one?
Yeah.
And number two, how much money has been given in scholarships?
Oh, my God, I could have told you that.
Since the formation. Well, I'm not asking you. I'm asking the guest.
Last year, we raised and awarded $128,000 to approximately 130 students.
It's unbelievable.
And overall, it's been, I think, 3,400 students over 50 years, and that's $2.5 billion. So
it's so difficult to raise money, even with our road race. But what he does, it's year after year after year, it's $125,000. That's a lot of money every year. Now I turn it over to Kevin Tocci.
How are you, Michael?
Oh, very good. Thank you for having me again. It's a pleasure to be here on Whitman Night.
Well, what made you become a part of Dollars for Scholars? I like hearing this story, because I've asked this a number of times, and it intrigues me.
Yeah. When I was in high school, I was in student council, and they had these two very nice ladies come in, Mrs. McLaughlin from Hanson and Mrs. Redpath from Hanson, and they spoke to us and said there's a need out there for students to help assist them in raising money for scholarships. And even if you weren't a senior, you could go and help, and that way when you are a senior, the underclassmen will help you. So I decided to do that, and 35
years
later...
And the rest is history, as they say.
I'm still doing that. No, so I graduated and I joined as an adult after that, and then took some time off, but basically I've been doing it on and off for a number of years. And I get great pleasure from it, as you can tell. I mean, you couldn't do this without enjoying it.
We're gonna promote a signature event that... I love. I think it's a fantastic idea. Probably if there's one thing if there was one small criticism I would levy is that you don't charge enough.
Yes.
I think you should charge more. So because it's so phenomenal.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So this is the thing that I argue with Michael about every year.
Oh, what I just said?
Yes.
Every year. It's
you're of like minds, yes.
Because they could make, what do you charge, $15?
$15, yes.
So you're going to talk about the food and stuff, but the same thing in Brockton is $35, $40, $50.
But hold on, let's rectify that. It's $15 in advance, $20 at the door.
So it should be a whole lot more money, and I'm not, the amount of food that you could eat in a couple of hours, and the it's different types of, it's crazy for $15. And every year I say to Michael, just charge more money. Even if it's $5. You could pick up an extra $1,000 by the amount of people that come through there because it's packed. Yeah. It's packed every time they do it. But
you got to get there early. That's the key. And we'll talk about this more in a moment. But, you know, you guys come up with a lot of creative ideas to be able to have events, to raise money, like the Taste of Whitman and Hansen. You just had a medium not too long ago, right?
Yeah, we try to do different things so we're...
Fantastic.
We're fundraising to different people. It's a different audience, exactly. So we're not hitting the same people up for the same exact thing. And the fundraiser that you're talking about here is a good one because everyone has to eat. So it's not like you have to drive people to...
Which is our point. Up. You should raise the price and, you know, you can make more money.
Yeah. You really stick it to us fat kids. It's like, you know... But it's a great event. I mean, but do you also seek donations? I mean, is it just the events, or do you a lot of times
a third of our money comes from our fundraising events that we have. A third of it comes from money that people have left in memory of somebody that has deceased. And a third of it is from businesses and community organizations each year that give whatever it is they're able to raise and name a scholarship after their organization or their business. So we kind of, it's split out over...
What's the largest amount of money that you give away? I mean, is it like $1,000 per? How do you do it?
So, there are some organizations, some Dollars for Scholars. This is we're one of 500 different chapters nationwide.
No, I get that, but
do $21,000 scholarships, and that's it.
Yep.
We don't do that. We take the applicants that we get, and we score them based upon a number of criteria.
And you do it blindly too, right?
We do it. We remove the name and we just assign them a number. So we grade them, score them on grade point average, SAT scores, employment, activities, goals and aspirations, and special circumstances. Then we give them a score. And at that point, we try to match them with whatever scholarship seems appropriate. And the top scoring person will end up getting the top amount of money that we give away, and it goes slowly down after that. We are a Whitman and Hanson-based organization, so we try to give as much money out to as many students as possible.
Yep.
So we try not to. We try to have a $500 is our minimum amount, but we try to satisfy as many students as we can. We can't do that every year, but we try it as best that we can.
Well, I think, if I'm correct, your goal for 2019 is $130,000.
Right.
How are you doing so far?
We're doing very well. We've I don't know if you're aware of this, but we, during the elections, we have our students canning out in front of the election.
Oh,
so
yeah.
we had a busy election, as you know. So
of course,
our funds are up a little bit this year. So hopefully, hopefully we'll exceed that goal.
Okay, good to know. Did you want to ask a question, or you want to get right into the taste? What do you want to do?
No, it's your show.
Oh, it's our show.
So I just find it amazing because, you know, we did Winterfest for 20 years, and I know how hard it was to raise $12,000, $14,000, $15,000 a year for 20 years. He's raising over $100,000 a year,
yep.
Which, by the way, it needs to be noted for the record that Michael Ganchert was inducted into the Whitman Hanson Regional High School Hall of Fame a couple of years ago.
Thank you.
For the service that he's...
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved. Well,
plus, he works in the town clerk's office. I mean, that's that right there.
That he deserves an award for that, exactly.
Bronze star right there. Because you know, anytime I go in there, how can I help you?
Yeah.
You can usually tell when he's had one too many Cokes. Because he's Diet Coke. He's, you know, he's
off the volume.
No, you're very, very attentive. It's a great office.
We do have a very good board, I have to say that. We probably have our adult volunteers, there's probably about 30 of them. Probably about 10 or 12 are really committed to this, and each one has a job to do, and we couldn't do it without a huge team like that.
So let's talk about the taste. The 12th annual.
Yes.
Can't believe it's the 12th. Thursday, March 7th. Let's hope it doesn't snow.
Which it has done on many occasions.
It has many occasions. Held at the VFW Post 697 on Essex Street. And usually have between 20 and 30 restaurants. And they're not necessarily all from Whitman or Hanson.
Originally, when we started it.
It was.
It was either Whitman or Hanson, or the people had to have some kind. They had an
affiliation
with it. Either they grew up in Whitman or Hanson, or they lived in Whitman and Hanson and owned a restaurant on the outskirts of town. Now we do Whitman and Hanson, and some of the restaurants live on the perimeter of the town. So,
and of course, there will be McGuigan's Pub. That's one of the first spots that I go to, Richard. I hope you know that. Where get a little bit of a taste. Sometimes I'll go over there a couple of times to get a little shepherd's pie. Get my shepherd's pie on.
We give out shepherd's pie in a little cup.
Best.
And we have the same people come back year after year for the shepherd's pie. It's really good.
It's the best. No, it's not really good.
And it's a fun event.
Best.
And for me, it's even more fun because being a townie, I get to see all the old townies.
Yeah.
And it's more of a socializing event for me and, you know, other people dish out the food. But it's fun. And it's just so successful.
I find a way to squeeze it in because, you know, I'm there in a dual role.
Yeah.
Not only am I there as a food connoisseur or a foodie, but I'm also there representing another media organization as we go and we provide coverage for local TV. And the folks are always kind to talk on the microphone. And, of course, we got Carol Brewster who does a nice job and videotapes all that stuff. And
Well, that's another Porsche part of it that's an exciting part of that night is that the restaurants that are there, they're donating their time, they're donating their staff's time, they're donating the food. So you know they're charitable, generous people.
Yep.
So they're awfully giving to the community, and there's always a very good relationship between the people that are there, the patrons that are there, and the people that they're...
And here's my selling point, and I do this all the time whenever you and I, because this isn't new to you and I, talking about it, whether it's here on this microphone or in front of a couple of cameras. But what I find fascinating about it is I get to try other restaurants. I usually have... You know, anywhere between 5 and 15 restaurants that I will go to.
Yeah.
Okay? I have a top three. Of course, McGuigan's is in the top three, if not the top one. But I'm serious.
He's just saying that.
No.
He's just saying that.
No, I heard the previous segment. Yes.
No. Listen. I like my other co-host who used to be here, and I booted him because he kept lying that he was going to McGuigan's Pub. I go there. I attend.
And I love the ambiance. I love seeing Richard like lights up when he sees somebody he knows. Yeah. He lights up. He comes over. Hey, how are you doing? He'll converse with you. You know what I mean? That's you want that. You want somebody who's going to welcome you and you feel at home. Yeah. Okay, I can't wait for the patio at McGuigan's.
That's going to be exciting.
It's going to be fantastic, and I can't wait until they're at the Taste as well.
Yeah,
but it gives you a chance to expand your palate if you're looking for a new place.
Yeah.
To try, you get a little sample of some of the stuff that they offer.
Yeah,
that's what's fantastic. Yep. If you're out there listening right now, driving around, going, "What the heck is he talking about?" This is an opportunity to go. You're giving to a great cause. You're helping the next generation be able to afford higher education, and you're also, you're finding out about some of the local eateries and establishments. Yeah. In around the South Shore.
For instance, is the Restoration Coffee that's there. They're a new establishment in Whitman. They're inside the Bostonian barbershop. I've never had my coffee there, do you know what I'm saying? But they're going to be there, and now you can find out how their coffee tastes. So it is an introduction to some of the newer businesses in the community.
Absolutely, and especially, things that I've done with Richard in the past.
Yeah.
Shopping local. You got to keep things local. If you want to help your community thrive, you shop local.
Yeah.
And this is a way of doing it.
Absolutely.
I like that he places us next to Skinner's Sugar House every year.
How fantastic is that?
Yeah, because
you've got your own corner, exactly.
Yeah, I just eat their candy all night. It's really cool.
It is good. So besides the coffee house that you were talking about, the Restoration Coffee, who else is new this year?
Well, we have the Brockton Rocks will be there this year. And their menu, sometimes they serve hot dogs. Their menu this year will be popcorn and Cracker Jack. So they're new to us. They're obviously not new to the community. So they'll be there also promoting some of their events for the upcoming season. And I have another one, but I don't want to announce yet because they haven't given me the
Are you still looking for restaurants?
We're always still looking, yes.
So see, this is your opportunity, Michael.
So if you're in a restaurant that wants to be charitable and get your name out there and be able to help out a good organization, it would be great. You can contact me at 781-252-9683, and I'll be glad to talk to you more about that.
You also answer your emails, too.
I do answer my emails, yes.
You do.
I might be slow, but I do answer them, yes.
Did you want to ask him another question?
No, I'm done.
Oh, don't say you're done.
Just kidding.
So what other events? I thought I said something at the Hanson AA Bowler Drone.
We do have that. So
what is that?
What are some of the other fundraisers?
Yeah. So we've obviously had some fundraisers already, but the Hanson AA, we have a bowling event fundraiser March 23rd and 24th. Ooh. It's at the Hanson Bowler Drone, which is adjacent to the Hanson AA. It's run by the Hanson AA. A lot of people in Whitman and Hanson don't even know it's there, but it's a really nice facility. And
is it 10-pin or is it candle?
It's candle pen. It's old school, you'd call it. There's no real electronic stuff. You have to do your own math.
It's like Carlo used to be.
Exactly. We do that on the 23rd and 24th from 12 to noon, from 12 to 4. We also have...
But how do you raise money doing it?
Well, it's $5 per string. We get half, and the Hanson AA
gets half. So Hanson AA, they're donating... Pretty much half their proceeds, which is pretty cool.
It is very nice, awesome. The bowling shoes are free that day, so that's also good. There's complimentary food and refreshments there for people. So you can't get that much for $5, We try to stretch the $5 thing.
Do you know if you charged legitimate prices, how much you'd really make a year?
We could have less fundraisers and just be more successful with it, right?
Never mind.
But I think, I think that it's a hometown feel. I guess I could see what he's saying in regard to... I mean, I would at least bump up the door to 25 and in advance to 20 personally, but...
Well, maybe that will charge you that personally and everybody else.
Okay, then I'll have to charge you for the video footage.
How's that? Right. we also have a cut-a-thon at the John Russell Studios the beginning of April. He does that. All of the money that's raised that day goes to Dollars for Scholars. It's from noon to... it's from 10 to noon on April 7th. It's a Sunday. We also have a meat raffle that we haven't scheduled yet, but we usually do the Laurie Sawtelle Memorial is funded through the meat raffle that we have. It has been at Damien's in the past. It won't be at Damien's this year, but we're still shopping around for different locations. We just haven't got around to that yet.
We do meat raffles at McGuigan's.
That's 546 Washington Street?
In Whitman.
Whitman, yes.
He's quick.
He works for the clerk. I mean,
he's quick.
And lastly, we also do our electronic recycling day, which is a way of for the public to dispose of any of their electronic items that they can't dispose of in the conventional trash.
How do you keep all this straight, Michael? How do you do it?
We bounce from one to the next one.
And I know that there's a committee, and you're the guy who's at the moment at the head of the committee. Anybody that you want to single out, or am I getting you in trouble?
Careful.
You know, right? Because if you miss somebody,
yeah, I don't. I'm gonna. We do have a very good group, and everyone has a certain job that they do, and we always say, I don't know what I would do without that person. I don't know what I'd do without that person. But in truth, it takes a team.
How often do you look for volunteers?
We're always looking for volunteers. I think people think that when they volunteer for something, they're automatically going to get put in charge of something. And you can volunteer or do whatever it is you're comfortable doing.
Listen, I'm just going to say this. There's nothing wrong with being an Indian. You don't have to be a chief.
Exactly, yeah. So we're always looking for adult and student volunteers. We meet monthly, and if you're a resident of Whitman and Hanson, we're always looking out. We're looking for more volunteers. So.
That is fantastic. So now, when do you start accepting the applications? When is that process ongoing right now?
Our application, it's actually called a profile. Students can go onto our website, which is www.whitmanandhanson.dollarsforscholars.org. Mm-hmm. They can go onto the website. They can start filling out their application anytime they want. But they can submit it now. So from February 1st to March 15th is when you can submit your application to Dollars for Scholars. So they can fill it out beginning in September, but it's not until February 1st to March 15th that they can actually submit the application. After March 15th, it's an online application. They can go in and fill out an application, but we won't get it at that point. It cuts them off on March 15th. So.
It's interesting.
Last year we had about 160 applicants, which was our high total that we've ever had.
Wow.
So we're hoping for the same amount this year.
That's incredible.
What's really incredible is the awards night when they give the scholarships.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, I've been to it many times over the years. It's a whole lot nicer in the new school than it used to be in the old school.
And cooler, too, yes.
Yeah, it was like 150 degrees on the stage, and it went on for like 7 hours. But I mean, to be there now, it's pretty cool. And when you have the opportunity to sit on stage and see what some of these kids are getting,
sure.
And you know, some of them are getting thousands of dollars, some of them get a couple hundred, but some of them get thousands. It's really amazing, and it's amazing to watch the kids when they come up on stage, when they're announced for six scholarships, and there's six people lining up to give them.
Yeah.
You know, it means a lot to those kids. And even the smallest amount to some of these kids, I'm sure, means a lot. They can buy books. So it's pretty expensive.
And sometimes
it's
just the personal recognition that they're getting.
It's pretty huge. It's pretty rewarding for these kids.
And Michael looking as fresh, not only with the first kid he takes a picture with, but the 160th kid he takes a picture with.
I don't know about that, but
I try to leave way before then.
Yeah.
And when do you normally, because here's the other clever thing I always get a kick out of, is usually on the individual town halls, you put the thermometer up.
We do. That starts sometime in the beginning of April. The Whitman one has been through a lot. Hopefully it'll last.
Is it time for a new one?
It's time to refresh it, yeah. So hopefully it'll do its job.
But what do you use? You use tape?
Oh, to fill in the thermometer.
Yeah.
Yes, we use red duct tape. I'm probably not supposed to give away that secret because someone could now go and peel it off, but sure, that's what we use instead of paint.
Anybody that's going to peel it off is not listening to this show.
That's right.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah. Why not Velcro?
I don't know.
Because red tape is so much easier.
I don't know. It never dawned on me. Yeah. But yeah. So those will be up soon, and they're up from April to usually the beginning of June after graduation, and they come down.
And then you guys kind of gather yourselves on June 2nd or June 3rd and go.
And we plan the next fundraiser, yes.
Do you really?
Yeah.
How quickly do you plan the next one? It's almost like the football, like after you win the Super Bowl, you go to Disney, you take a few weeks off.
No, we're actually thinking of the August and September fundraisers that we're doing. So,
wow.
One of them is a gift card ordering thing that we do every 2 months, so that's usually in the summertime. We're doing some of that, too. So we're always moving on to the next event. So,
Richard, anything I haven't asked?
You pretty much covered it.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think it's still important to recognize the businesses that are also a part of this, whether it's their donation of time, whether they're doing the taste of Whitman and Hanson or offering up
their establishment, like the Hanson Bolodrome.
Yeah. Can I just say, it is amazing that they do it year after year after year. Because eventually you say, oh, well, that's going to drop. But most people really enjoy doing it. It's an opportunity for them to give back to the community. The taste of, yes.
The taste
to give
fantastic.
Back to the community. And
I don't think it's amazing at all. I think it's a great event for the community.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just look at the... Look at the sheer numbers of people that you get that come to that event. Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, if they didn't like it, you wouldn't have that. I mean, you have a few hundred people that come to that event every year.
It was even more when it was $10, but we've upped it to $15. So.
You've got a thin herd.
You've got a thin herd.
He's full of baloney.
If you went to 20, you'd have more people.
Yeah. No, but I almost liken it to some of the iconic... You know, events that have happened in Whitman. He mentioned Winterfest.
Yeah.
Again, it's that event that you mark your calendar. And I was, you know, we got into the first week or two of February. I'm like, my God, when is the taste?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's events like this that people like Michael and other people do that make small towns such a beautiful thing in our life. You know, I mean, obviously, I love Whitman, lived there all my life. Michael has too. It's things like this that make it a great community.
Yeah.
These events.
Exactly.
Definitely fantastic.
Couldn't have said it better, yes.
Couldn't have said it any
better.
Yeah, you
could have.
And again, this is coming up on Thursday, March 7th. Mark your calendar. I'm warning you right now. The 12th annual Taste of Whitman and Hanson. This is your chance to come and enjoy some samples, up to a 24 food establishments that are in the Whitman and Hanson area. Doors open at 5:30. I would advise you to get there early because usually by 6:30, 7 o'clock, folks have, they're getting out of work, and this is the event to go to. Doors are open at 8 o'clock. Probably the other thing we didn't mention about the taste, it's not just about food because you have other things going on. Don't you have, like, raffles?
We do. We have other events like that, such as raffles and the lottery baskets and stuff like that. So just additional ways that we can raise money.
You do a 50-50 too, don't you?
We do a 50-50 as well, yes.
How do you keep this all straight in your head? I asked you this earlier. How do you do it?
We've been doing it for so long, I think it's part of the routine. So.
Do they call it institutional memory?
That they might be, yes.
They actually might. And what's some of the things that you actually give away during the raffles? What are some of the things that you've given away over the years? What's some of the items?
When we first started out, we thought we'd just do food gift cards or gift certificates, sticking with the food theme. And so we do that, but we also have additional gift cards that we usually do. And we also have the lottery, scratch ticket, gift basket, and the 50-50 raffle. And that pretty much covers it.
And don't forget also, at this, and again, it's at the VFW Post 697 on Essex Street, right over by Hobart's Pond and the police station. And it's going to a great cause. And tickets are available. Duval's Pharmacy, Ford's Insurance in Hanson, Sandy's Coffee Corner, the Town Clerk's Office in Whitman, surprise, and Hanson. Or you can contact Michael, who's sitting here right now. Don't call him now because he's on the air. 781-252-9683.
I did add one more place, eventbrite.com. It's an online, because a lot of people nowadays, don't want to drive to Duval's and then drive home if they don't live in Whitman or Hanson. And so if they're in the outer communities and they want to find us on Eventbrite, A Taste of Whitman and Hanson, they can do it there as well.
Well, Michael Ganchert has been our guest. He is the president of the Whitman-Hanson Dollars for Scholars, WhitmanHansonDollarsForScholars.org.
Correct, yes.
Is the way. Richard, anything you want to say in closing before you take us out?
I just want to thank you for letting me co-host your show tonight. And as has been a pattern over the years that I've done this, is that you tend to have Whitman people come in or people associated with Whitman when I'm on the air, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, it's almost like McGuigan's Pub. You know, you go there for comfort food, for comfort.
Kind of,
sort of, yeah.
So you can bring us out rather than...
You sure you want me to bring us out?
Yeah,
and again, if you've missed any of these segments, if you've missed Richard opening the program, the podcast will be up probably in the next 24 to 48 hours. Of course, Richard will probably want his a little sooner, so I might have to send it to you.
I'm just guessing that I'll be getting a call from Ed Perry soon.
You think so? Yeah, I can see you doing a show. Yeah. I can see it.
It's too far for me to drive.
Okay. Maybe we could do something when we set it up at your house.
Or at the patio.
Yes.
The patio.
Why can't we do a remote for the grand opening?
That would be fantastic.
Or a remote for St. Patrick's Day.
Things we could talk about. I like it.
Perfect.
We'll have to plan that. You'll have to open the show. You might have to host that show.
I'll do that.
And I'll be getting myself a 23
23-ounce boot.
Was it 16? No, it's 17 and 35. You were close.
Really?
Yeah. I was a little bit off.
What do I know? But that's all the program that we have here. And again, if you miss any of the program, go to the website, 959watd.com. Scroll down on the homepage and click on Monday Night Talk, the banner, and you'll find all of our podcasts. I mean, we got over 900 podcasts right now. I want to thank Ben for doing a great job. And until next week at 6:15 p.m., stay tuned. You got South Shore Live and the Gang coming up in just a few moments. You've been listening to Monday Night Talk. Have a good one.
South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. WATD-FM Marshfield, WATD Brockton.